We are starting a new series today, and I'm yay, right? Well, maybe the other one you didn't want, right? I don't know.
No, just you needed something.
We need to say yay! thanks. So we're starting a new series today, and I can't wait to just have you dive right into it. And it's a book that I've done in the past. The last time we did it was 6 years ago, and I desire to be back in this book. And but in this book, there's no swords or action. There's no mass biblical killing. Sorry, that's not going to happen. In this book, there's no demonic oppressions or anything. But there is God's provision on every page. There is God's love. There's a whole lot of wheat, by the way, a whole lot of wheat happening, barley and wheat happening. And there's a beautiful expression of God's love that's woven throughout the entire story. Anyone want to take a guess where we're going to be? Anyone? Where? Where? Yes, I told you. We're going to be in the book of Ruth. We're going to be in the book of Ruth. This is such a good book. I hope you get into it. By the way, if this was like, if some of the Bible, books of the Bible were like movies, like, you know, some of them would be action scenes, like the Ten Commandments, right? Ruth would be a rom-com. I'm just going to tell you how that's just going to be, right? So it would, but however, guys, don't check out on me, because there's some good stuff in the book of Ruth, because it shares of God's provision from start to finish. And so if you have your Bibles, turn into the book of Ruth, because we're going to see how God is woven in between. But anyway, let's dive right into it. In the days when judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. This is Ruth chapter 1. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi. And the names of their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab to live there. Now, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years. Both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without two sons and without her husband. So let's kind of get into kind of what's going on here. If you've never been into this book, it takes place right after the time of Judges. If you ever read through your Bible, you come through Genesis, Exodus, and the rest of the Torah, and you'll come to Joshua, and then you'll come to Judges. Judges, if you remember the story of Samson, big, strong Samson, killing 400 people with the jawbone of a donkey, and there's Deborah, and there's these great stories in the book of Judges, right? After that time comes the books of Ruth. So the book of Ruth. And here you'll see in the days when judges ruled, this was before David, this is before the kings, this is before Saul, this was early Israel finding their footing in a new land that God had given them. And by the way, if you actually go to the last page of the book of Judges, you'll see that it says, in those days, this is Judges 21, Israel had no king and everybody did as they saw fit. Man, if that doesn't sound like today, right? everybody just does what they want, right? Everybody just doing what they want. You do you, right? I've heard that before. You do you. So this is where we're at. And this was the landscape where this story is birthed out of. And so in this story, you're going to see that there is tragedy in this land, right? But there was a man who desired something for his family, and they moved to the land of what we call Moab. By the way, just to kind of give you a map here where we are. So the kingdom of Judah is over. By the way, Jerusalem is there to the upper left of the Dead Sea there. We're in the kingdom of Moab, which is across the Dead Sea. This was a pagan land. Not many people worshipped God in this land. In fact, God had not nice things to say about Moab. In fact, God had actually informed the Israelites that they were not meant to marry Moabite women. And so we find ourselves in a little bit of a sticky situation here, because Elimelech and his family move there and the boys take Moabite women, and it's kind of a mess. It's kind of a mess. And unfortunately, it gets worse. It gets worse because Naomi is there and she's left without her. Tragedy strikes. So Elimelech was her husband And things seem to be going well there for a little bit at least. They were trying to move out of Judah to get away to maybe find some area and find some land that maybe wasn't as occupied so they could eat or grow their crops, whatever it might be. Well, we don't know how things happened. I'm not sure what happened. But now all of a sudden we find this story. Elimelech dies and now Naomi is left without a husband. And things were bad. So much so that we see here that when Naomi heard that, I'm getting ahead of myself. You see that Naomi's husband died and her two sons died as well. So after they had been there, you see there, Naomi was left without husband and two sons. Now, by the way, can you just imagine if this tragedy has stricken, thank you. See, I told you English class wasn't out, number one on my list, by the way. Had happened to you, can you just imagine where you would be? So your main support has died, and now your children have died. By the way, that would still be crippling for any person in this room today. Even more so back then, now Naomi has nothing. Now she's got nothing left, she's got nobody to support her, and it's just awful. Now we see this. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughter-in-laws prepared to return home from there. All of a sudden, Naomi wants to go back to where she came from. But there's a reason why she goes back. Do you see the reason why she goes back? Do you see it? God was doing things. And God was on the move, and Naomi, in this foreign land, in this pagan land, and in a place where maybe she shouldn't have been in the first place, hears that God is doing something, and she wants to be a part of it. All of a sudden, where she is not good, but she knows that God is on the move because she sees and hears that God is on the move, and all of a sudden she decides to return. When she heard that the Lord had come to the aid of his people, she said, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part where God is moving. I want that for myself. And the path that she was going, she could no longer continue on. She could not stay where she was. She didn't have a husband. She didn't have sons. And here she finds herself, and now she wants to go back to where God was moving. That being said, so that's the opening of the book of Ruth. It's like, it's not exactly all warm fuzzies and rainbows and good times. It's tragedy. And we have a person who is just broken because where she is, she can't continue to go any further. And for her, the only way forward is to go backwards. And there are signs in our lives where we can no longer keep going forward. We have to turn around and go back the way we came in order to move ahead. And that's exactly what's going on here. There are going to be times that the only way forward is to turn back. Has this ever happened? I know this has happened to you. Has this ever happened to you where you're driving down the road, right? Driving down the road, and then you see one of these. You see one of these laying in the road. Maybe there's multiple ones of them. By the way, this is not a good example because I drove through this the other day. All right, so you've seen one of these, okay? There's a guy there with a little, like, flashy light, which, by the way, I'm that guy sometimes now. I'm that guy with the flashy light, right? But there's a guy with a flashy light, and he says what? The road's what? You can't what? Now, if you're like me, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Has anybody ever continued to drive past the road? I'm just curious. Let's show of honesty here. Has anybody driven? Thank you, Megan, for being honest. Has anybody ever driven? Thank you, Bill. They're out there. By the way, your pastor's one of them. Have you ever, you're not going to tell me what to do. And then you get to where you're going and you realize, guess what? You cannot continue because there's a bridge out or there's a giant tree. There's wires all over the place. You're like, if I keep going the way that I go, I'm gonna find myself in ruin. My car's gonna get damaged. I'm gonna get damaged. Something bad's gonna happen. These are out there for a reason, right? But I did that one time, right? Shh. See, there are times when we hit roadblocks like this, and that the only way forward is to go back. How many times have we found ourselves distant from God, and the only way to truly go forward is to turn back to Him? There are going to be times in our lives when we hit these right here. We are doing our own thing. We're on our own. Things are going great. And all of a sudden, the road, we can't keep going the way that we're going, but it's not good for us. And the only way to really move forward is to turn back to the only one that can help us, and that's God. For Naomi, if she kept going, no sons, no husbands, in a distant land, in a place that's difficult, with no food, she hears that God is doing something over in Judah, and she says, in order to go forward, I got to go back. And it's a great opportunity for Naomi to return to God. To return to the only one that can bring her to a level of... But in order, she had to stop going forward and she had to go back. It is such a powerful reminder of what God wants to do with us, especially in times when the way forward is not good for us. Naomi wanted to return to what was familiar, but more importantly, what she wanted to be a part of what God was doing. There are times that you and I both know that where we are, we cannot stay. And if we want to grow deeper with God, we have to stop where we are, what we're doing, or the situation we might be in, and actually turn back around and find God in a place that is prevalent with His power, His presence, and His provision, which is what we're going to see here. When Naomi heard that the Lord had come to the aid of His people, she wanted to be a part of it. She needed to be a part of it. And she wanted some of that for herself. Which, by the way, how many of us, have you ever seen God moving and want to be a part of it? Like God is moving in the lives of others, there's somebody's faith that you're like, what is it? I want that for me. Where we are, we know we can't go forward, and we want to be a part of what God is doing. And there's this great opportunity, at least for Naomi, to move towards God. But it's going to mean that she has to abandon everything that she, for the last 10 years, she's worked 10 years, and that has come to a complete and utter stop. And now she has to go back to God. And what felt like a wrong move, I'm going to show you over the next course of 4 to 5 weeks what the story that God is weaving is a beautiful one, because in this moment when she turns back to God, not only does it have impacts on her life, this decision has an impact on every single person in this room. Because her desire to go back to God brought about a lineage of somebody that should be pretty important to you. Oh, by the way, his name's Jesus, by the way. By the way, David is a direct product of this decision. David is going to, by the way, Naomi is the great, great, great grandmother of David. Think about that for a moment. Her decision to say, I can't stay here, directly impacted the king of one of the best kings of all Israel. Can today be the day that you see that a decision that I make to turn back to God today, to stop going the route that I'm going and turn back to Him, could you maybe think that it could have a legacy on your great, great, great grandchild? Think of that for a moment. You probably haven't even thought of that person yet. You probably will never even meet your great, great, great grandchild. But a decision that you make today could possibly even have a legacy that is instilled on them for decisions that you make today. For Naomi, that was the case. And for God, that is the story that He was weaving and writing. And this is where we're at today. And this is the beautiful story of Ruth. And this is what we find before us. One woman's decision is going to change the course of not only her life, but every single person in this room, as Jesus is the direct is the furthest recipient of what she makes and what she understands that day. But anyway, if you're in this place today, then that means there's probably a situation that you have to turn away from. And that would mean you turn away from what's comfortable. That means you turn away from where we've been. That means we turn away from certain patterns and certain things, maybe certain people. and that we turn towards God, and that would mean that we desire to see where God is taking us into where he is and where he's moving. But it would mean that we have to turn away from some things, and that might be a little difficult. And so in order to do that, I think we need the help of the Holy Spirit. And so my desire is we begin to pray today, before we get into my points, to see and help you through this process as well. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would guide and lead us today. As we, every single one of us has come across a roadblock in our lives, has come across a situation that has been detrimental, and maybe to go forward today, we know where we want to go, but it's going to mean we have to go back. It's going to mean we have to return to you. It means that we're going to have to stop where we're going and return to our first true love. And maybe today's the first time. Maybe today's the first time that we want more of God and less of whatever it is we're in. What a great opportunity that today represents for each and every one of us. Bless this time and bless this message and bless our time together as we work through this. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. So the first thing I want you to know is one small decision could change your life. Which is one. Let's take a look. When Naomi heard that the Lord was coming to the aid of the people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where they had been living, and she set out on the road that would take them back to Judah. Now we're going to skip ahead. There's a long conversation there. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay, and your people will be my people, and your God, my God." This is a great, by the way, Naomi is there saying, you shouldn't be here. Like, it makes no sense. You need to go back to your mother's house, go back to your land, start your life over. She goes, "Me, I'm washed up. I'm done. There's nothing left here." And the one daughter goes back, Orpha. By the way, not Oprah, by the way. This is Orpha. She didn't have her own talk show. So this woman went back to her mother's house. But Ruth decided not to go. In fact, she falls on her, and she's like, she pleads with her. She goes, "No, don't send me away from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay." These are the first words of Ruth, by the way. And it shows her heart. It shows her loyalty. It shows her heart for just her mother-in-law. May we always be this. May you be blessed with a daughter-in-law like this if you have sons. I hope you do. I hope you do. Ruth had a chance to go back. She had a chance to go back to go back to what was familiar to her. But she could go back to mom, right? Go back to mom's house, live back there. But she said no. She wanted something different. In fact, what she wanted was the God who was providing in the land that Naomi had already specified. Ruth wanted it. She wanted something different about her life. And there was something about it that she made a choice. And that choice is going to change her life. Because these words right here, she says, "Your God is my God." Her life changed in that moment. Everything changed in that moment. Because all of a sudden, she realized she needed something that was more than just what was waiting for her back home. She wanted to follow the one true God. The God that would change her life. The God who was providing for the people in Israel. And the God who's going to bring about a story of redemption in her life that is going to be beautiful. And in that moment, she realized she wanted something different than where she was. And that thing would be God. I tell you, this is probably one of the most pivotal moments in Ruth's life. And we don't know why or what it was. Like, Naomi was definitely certainly not in a place to stand there and give this great testimony about how great God was in that moment. But there was something that Ruth held on to. She said, "I want this for myself. And where you go, I will be. And the God that you serve will be my God." And in that moment, by the way, Ruth is not an Israelite. She's a Moabite. By the way, if you remember the story of Lot and his daughters, which was kind of a crazy, creepy story, by the way. If you don't, you can read it, Genesis 19. But they are just descendants of Lot and his daughters. And they were not considered the most holiest of people in the land of Moab. But here she is, a Moabitess, coming before God and being redeemed by God. And it's going to, from this moment, branch into the entire world. And this moment will change her life. If she would have went back, we don't know what would have happened. I don't know what the story would have been like. But that the fact that she turned back to God, or maybe she turned to God in the for the first time in her life, had implications for her and her children and her children's children. This is probably one of the most beautiful things. You can never go wrong turning back to God, ever. You will never harm yourself. You will never find yourself. You will never find yourself void of hope, or void of faith, void of provision. For God promises us that He will always provide for us. This is the God in whom Ruth served, and this is who she wanted to be. So my question for you is: for Ruth, it was one small decision. Your God's going to be my God. This one small decision changed the course. Like, think of it like a branch. It just began to veer off in a direction that was going to bring blessings upon her family. Today, where is it that one small decision that you make today might be something that could have legacy impact for your children, for their children? Maybe that means turning away from something that's no good for me. Maybe that's, I'm gonna draw closer to Him. I want to get further. I want to get closer and more connected with Him. I'm going to start praying every day. What's one small decision that you want, that you're going to see God move in and through, that you're going to change, that you want for yourself, and watch as He begins to branch you from this moment? For Ruth, it was simple. I want your God to be my God. For you, what might that be? And most importantly, what implications could that have for the future generations? Let's get into point two. Rocky paths that lead to God are worth the effort. Rocky paths that lead to God are worth the effort. Take a look at our text. Naomi says, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because the Lord Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune on me." I don't know if you know, Naomi. The name Naomi actually means pleasant. It means gentle. It's like a beautiful spring day, right? Everything's great. But she says, "I don't want to be called by that name anymore. Call me Mara," which means bitter. It means like just like you take a whole bunch of cocoa powder, like you just. You like if you were just dry cocoa, which I've done before. You take dry cocoa powder. It's brutal. It's horrible. There's nothing to it. You're like, ah, that's what she wants to be known by. She wants to change her name. That kind of gives you an idea of where she is in this moment. She's coming back, and she's in this place where she's no longer happy and pleasant. In fact, she's broken, and there's no other word for it. That's where she is. But here's my thing, is never once was she ever bitter towards God. She was bitter towards her circumstances. She was bitter towards what was happening to her, but never once did she curse God or run away from Him. In fact, she's actually running towards, like, think about this for a moment. Like, her life is falling apart, right? And it would be so simple just to run away. But in fact, she's actually running towards God because they're leaving Moab and they're going to Jerusalem because she hears that He's on the move. So there's this like attitude in her heart. He's like, "Well, look what He's doing to me." But she keeps walking towards Him. That's not the easiest thing to do. Listen, we live in a culture where people will drop God like a bad habit at the first sign of uncomfortability, of pressure, of trials. But she didn't. In fact, what she says, "I'm going to buckle down in my faith. We're actually going to go towards Him in the midst of my brokenness." She never gave up on God, and it's so beautiful. Her heart was continually going towards Him, even in the midst of her brokenness. I can't say that it's very easy to find that kind of faith today, because how many of us are tempted to ignore our faith when trials come? In fact, James says, "Consider it pure joy when you go through trials." And so, as your pastor, if I could just speak to your heart for a moment. Like, no matter what you're going through, can I just share, don't ever give up on God. He will never give up on you. I mean, I believe that we can all say, and please don't ever stop believing that God is good. That He is great. and that his deep love for you never fails and never changes. And so my desire is that you would, no matter what you go through, don't ever give up on God. Because no matter the rocky path that you go, no matter the hills and the bumps and the bumpy road, right? It is always going to be worth it. And by the way, feel free to read Ruth chapter 4 to see how this turns out. Because the Naomi that comes into to Bethlehem and the Naomi who's at the end of Bethlehem are two totally different people. And that's the road that God takes us. And so if you're broken here today, my desire for you would be, do not run away from him, run towards him. Because he's got a great plan and a purpose for you. And don't ever, ever throw in the towel. Don't ever give up. Because you will miss out on what he wants to do with you and your pain and your heartaches and those things that are difficult in the future that might be not only a blessing to you, but also be a blessing to others. In fact, it's so amazing. All of Bethlehem sitting here like talking. Look at Naomi. Oh my gosh. But by the end of the story, they're like, oh my gosh, Naomi. Like, it is such a different place. But the road there was windy and rocky and hilly and bumpy, but it was worth every single effort. And so my challenge to you today, if you are in a bad place, rocky paths, rocky roads, not the ice cream, right? Like rocky paths that lead to God are always worth it, no matter how difficult they are. Because he will see you through and he has a plan and a purpose for you. So number one, one small decision today could change your future. Number two, if that path is rocky turning towards God, my challenge to you is don't give up because it's going to be worth it. And lastly, doors open and close for God's intended purpose. Take a look. Verse 22. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. So, just so you understand, Naomi had a talk with both her daughters-in-law. One said, I'm leaving. I'm going back. One said, I'm sticking with you, and we're going together. And they come back to Bethlehem. And by the way, you know the city of David. This is Bethlehem. This is where they live now. And she's coming back. This is where she came from. And there's all these people, and they're probably talking about her. They're probably having a little gossip, you know, as she's walking into town. That's the way I see it. They're all like, oh, she's been gone 10 years. She looks awful. I can only imagine what people are saying as Naomi comes back into town. But this is this great opportunity that God is going to move. And he closed the door where she was. That road was closed. And look at this beautiful verse. They arrived in Bethlehem just as the barley harvest was beginning. There's this newness, this freshness. Something is happening. Something is growing. There's something new. In the midst of tragedy, God is moving. Because the barley is growing. Like there's something happening unbeknownst to Naomi. And this barley harvest is going to be a season of fruit for her. Because it's going to bring about an amazing story of God's redemption for her family. And most importantly, Ruth. And the legacy that comes from that moment. So often we get so focused on the closed doors that we cannot see what God is doing in and among ourselves and our situations. And the truth is, there are times that God will close a door, and I imagine it was painful, and I don't know why God did what he did with the boys and with her husband. I'm not sure. I don't have evidence for that, but what I do know is for whatever reason, God chose to close that door, but he opened one of greater importance and greater significance in her life. And we see it here because that barley harvest is going to be something grand for her. And so, like I said earlier, in the midst of pain, God is still good. God never slumbers. He does not sleep. He does not take a day off. He doesn't miss memos. For he is good all the time. And my desire for us is that if there is a season of pain or difficulty, that God is moving now in that season, and maybe you can't see it, or maybe you don't understand it, but the truth is, his character never changes. And neither should our faith. That we are going to be committed to him. Because there are going to be times of turning back to him. Turning back to him may take closing a door that was never meant to be opened in the first place. They may not have meant to be in Moab. However, they find themselves there. And now turning back to God is going to have what I believe to be eternal significance in their lives. Because of this one closed door, God is going to bring about a king of all kings. He's going to bring about a work that they cannot see. That barley harvest is going to grow. It's going to flourish. Boaz is going to show up, right? And there's going to be this great harvest. And that's going to lead to Jesus one day. And we're going to see how this one closed door opened the door that every single person who believes in the name of Jesus can be saved. And that's the truth here. And so can we be people who see the big picture here today and not just the narrow focus that God is opening doors even when one closes? So my desire is that can we be people that sees that God has a plan and that sometimes we just don't have the blueprint. Like I love the fact that there are times that God has this grand scheme of things and we just don't know what it is. And by the way, that's going to be life, by the way. I don't know if you know this or not. Like if God doesn't always let us in on his plans. It's not like he's like the guy at the construction site with the blueprint laying there, like the stock photography, like they're just sitting there pointing at a big blueprint. He doesn't do that. He rolls it up. He keeps it to his own. And he says, watch this. Do you trust me? Then go with me. And there are going to be seasons when he closes the door because he knows that in the doors that he's opening, it's going to be so much better than if we were to continue on the road that we were going. And so all that to say, here it is. All that to say, there are going to be times when going back is going to be the only way forward. So we get a chance to engage with communion here today. We're going to get a chance to engage what God is doing. I'll wait for her. So today's the day where we're going to get a chance to engage with this ourselves. And so as we engage with communion, what we're going to do is be reminded that God is on the move here today. What looked like an awful time for Jesus on the cross brought about a great salvation for many. We just celebrated that at Easter. And the truth is today that many of us may have come across something like this, and we have to be reminded that we have to come back to God. And that's why communion is a great opportunity for each and every one of us, because we take it together as a family. We're reminded that we're here for a common cause, and that is Jesus. And so as we take the bread and we take the cup, we're reminded that his love never fails, and it was proven there on the cross that day at Calvary. And so as we engage with this time, as we engage with communion, maybe today's a day where we need to begin to have this understanding. Maybe this is a day where you need to make a commitment. Maybe this is a day where we take some time before taking the elements to make a commitment or to make a desire to turn back to God. I don't know what God is saying in your heart, but what I want is for you to not rush this time, because he may be drawing you to himself in this moment by walking away from some things. I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up. Come on up. And most of my elders are missing here this morning. So, Steve, would you mind helping me out? Brian, would you help me out as well? On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, he broke it. He said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The reason why we do this is because what we long for is to see God move in and through our lives. But what we're reminded of, that he endured so much that we could have the peace and the hope that comes through his atoning work. And so as we take this, as we hold on to this, he said, do this in remembrance of me. Engage with me in this. Hang on to this with me, because this work proved of his divine love for each and every one of us. And it's the great opportunity that we have today to remind you that we can return back to God and be reminded of his great love that was evidenced on the cross. And so hold on to it. We will take it together. And let's use this as an opportunity to remember that God is good in all times, in all seasons, even when there's one of these sitting in our path. Hold on to it until we're all served.